Hello, and welcome to the ILO's Future of Work podcast. I'm Steve Needham. Thailand's automotive sector produces around 1.45 million vehicles each year and employs close to a million workers. But today, the industry is navigating major transformation. The shift to electric vehicles, the rise of automation and AI, and growing expectation from workers, consumers, and global markets. In this changing environment, responsible business conduct, or RBC, is becoming increasingly important. RBC covers many areas, from environmental responsibility to supply chain due diligence. But at its core, it also includes something more fundamental: how companies engage with workers and their representatives. In this episode, we ask how dialogue and good labour relations between management and unions can help companies remain competitive while protecting workers during a period of major transition. To explore these questions, I'm joined by Georg Lütert, Director of Automotive and Aerospace Industries at Industrial Global Union, a global trade union federation representing workers in mining, energy and manufacturing, and Satirayut Max Sangsawan, Vice President of Auto Alliance Thailand, a joint venture between Ford and Mazda, and one of Thailand's largest vehicle manufacturers. Georg, Max, welcome.
Thanks so much, and thanks for having me.
Great to be with all of you today.
Let's start with the basics. Georg, what does responsible business conduct mean to you?
I think from a union perspective, it really means that there is a union at all. So the company does not exclude the workers to have a collective voice and enter into negotiations and into a constructive dialogue. That's number one. And that, of course, they also allow for collective agreements to be negotiated. And then finally, it's everything around what I would call the democracy in the workplace. So there is continuous exchange between the parties and a common spirit of finding solutions together to make it better. And finally, there is this dimension of the society. So a factory is not an isolated place. It is always embedded in the society, and it needs to have this broader view to do good things for the society as well.
And Max, from an industry perspective, how would you explain RBC?
My understanding, RBC means collaborative, means co-creation, means productivity, means industrial peace, means win-win solution, means sustainable labor relations. It means trust between one another. It means continued improvement, continued investment, you know, from the parent company to AAT, to the company, and make us have the rapid growth and make us continue our operation in AAT in Thailand forever. This is the RBC in my view.
And what does this look like day to day at Auto Alliance Thailand?
When we have the target of the production, for example, this year we aim to produce 150,000 units. We share to employees, we share to our labor union, and we break into months that how many units that we are going to produce per month. So those sort of things that we share, we inform, and we're listening to the employees' voice, and that kind of target will exchange, you know, with the success in terms of the objective setting back to the company.
And how are you achieving this kind of collaboration?
Every time when we have the labor negotiation, and my senior management said that, you know, why don't we change our mindset, you know, from labor negotiation to be constructive labor discussion. We have constructive discussion. So we provide the good benefit and welfare for the employees. Before we're doing that, AAT or the company is supposed to have the profit. Without any profit, we cannot provide, you know, something like, you know, the good benefit and welfare for the company. Just change the mindset, you know, that of the senior management, that once we have the constructive labor discussion, I'm confident that, you know, that both parties, management and the labor union, you know, that we're going to have the win-win approach, and, you know, that both parties will reach the target.
The global auto industry is obviously undergoing major transformation. Georg, how important is RBC in that context?
It's of tremendous importance, actually, because if you look at what is happening already today in the global north is that many, many auto workers are losing their jobs due to the introduction of electric vehicles, and which means less work, right? Because these electric vehicles are less complex from a parts perspective. And also because there's more and more digital systems introduced, et cetera, et cetera. So we see, like in Germany, for instance, over 100,000 auto jobs were lost last year. And we see same tendencies in other European countries, in the US, partly in Korea and in Japan, and also in some countries of the global south. What we also see is that companies, in most of the cases, try to take quite a responsible stance, where because they are willing actually to compensate the workers quite substantially from a financial perspective. But at the very end, the solution, of course, is that these colleagues leave the company and lose their jobs. And I mean, these jobs will be lost forever, right? So they will probably not come back. And then I guess responsible business conduct in this context of the transformation should even mean more, because we have to look at the society as such. And in this context, I would say that it's not only about responsible compensation payments. We should particularly think about re- and upskilling and try to make sure that most of these guys find a new job. And if they don't find it in the auto industry, then maybe they find it in other industries which are emerging. And I think in this context, we are saying to the companies, a lot of companies today, particularly the auto companies, let's work together to make sure that this re- and upskilling part gets much more of a focus, of an importance, than in many cases today.
Max, when people hear about automation, usually the introduction of robots or cobots, which are robots which work alongside human workers, they often think of job losses. How are you managing that transition?
You know, when we have, let's say, when we have robot, we have cobot coming in that to help, you know, that to support the operation. We clearly explain to our employees that you are going to rotate to the more benefit, to the higher responsibilities, job and responsibilities. We never say that, you know, once we have the robot, once you have the cobot coming in, you are going to be terminated. No, we never say that. You are going to be assigned to the higher responsibilities, because you know that the more you work for companies, the higher experience. And we need experienced people, you know, to create, to assemble the best vehicles, you know, to the customers worldwide. We need everyone. We need all of you. We need all experienced employees working with us.
We've talked about what happens inside AAT, but the automotive industry is built on vast global supply chains. Georg, is bringing stakeholders together enough?
Yeah, again, first of all, congratulations to AAT. I think also this transparency that they create is super important. On a broader scale, we also making quite positive experiences with multi-stakeholder initiatives in different contexts, where we bring together different layers of supply chains with OEMs and with unions, governments, academics, or whatsoever. So overall, this is normally very positive. And in many cases, it can really do magic, because some countries do not have these experiences. They're not familiar with these kind of settings. And in the beginning, as Max said, they're maybe not so keen to join. But then once they're there, they understand that it makes a big difference to be around the table, to see each other, not talk about each other, but talk with each other. So that makes a huge difference. And I think in this whole context, also along supply chain due diligence, this is a super important aspect for us to follow, because these supply chains are complex, and bringing the guys together is the right approach. But there's also one thing I think which is important, like bringing the guys together and the different stakeholders together is important and can have a value. But we also must make sure this does not end up like in a talking club with a nice atmosphere and then nothing comes out. Particularly in supply chains, I mean, let's be honest, we all know the automotive industry, there's quite a hierarchy. There's the OEM, so the original equipment manufacturer, in this case, AAT, that builds the cars. And then there are many, many, many suppliers, and they are on different tier levels. So there's bigger suppliers, smaller suppliers, and it's a huge network of 10,000s of suppliers for each automaker. And there is also, I mean, the lower you are in this supply chain, the less power you have.
And what's stopping smaller suppliers from adopting this approach?
There's a lot of price pressure, cost pressure on the suppliers, and it's increasing from tier to tier. So that's one thing. And then, of course, you have the smaller the business gets, you often have family business or so, which are maybe not so familiar. They also need training. Sometimes, they also need training on existing legislation. But very often they are not familiar with this, and then the cost plays a big role, and they think like a union will increase my cost, so therefore I don't want unions, and that's not acceptable actually. And we can do better, I guess.
Max, AAT has worked with ILO to help encourage companies in your supply chain to embrace RBC. How has the response been?
I will say thank you to ILO Thailand that you provide, you know, that good training class, you know, not only for AAT and our labor union, but we are trying it to get something like at least 20 AAT suppliers that to have the same understanding. This kind of training conduct by ILO Thailand, and we have received lots of positive feedback, you know, from our suppliers. At first, they feel not comfortable when AAT invite them to join the meeting, the training, 5 days training. So our conditions, we request that you're supposed to have one HR, supposed to have at least one or two labor union working together, joining together.
What kind of things do you cover in these training sessions?
You learn from one another. You know, you just open your heart, and we learn from, and we respect one another. And this is one of the key success. We are not sitting on the different side, but we are sitting together in one room, in one table.
And if you could both leave one message about responsible business conduct in the automotive sector, what would it be, Georg?
In the current times of transformation, the most important thing is that employers and unions agree on ways to manage this transformation without everybody losing the jobs, and particularly put re and upskilling into the focus. And the other message is, I mean, there are super companies such as AAT, but there are also a lot of companies out there which are performing totally different. They avoid unions. They don't want to listen to their workers at all. And we got to find ways on how to convince these guys as well.
Max?
My final message, you know, that AAT management, our parents company, we cannot succeed, you know, without our employees working with us. We have 5,000 employees, and everyone are part of the key AAT success. We trust them, and we need to provide everything more transparency. We trust them, and before we are doing some new policies, unions always getting involved, you know, with the company. They should know well, they should understand, and I believe that once they understand, they will support.
Well, that's all we have time for today. I think what stands out from this discussion is that responsible business conduct is not just about compliance or standards. It's about building trust, dialogue, and shared solutions between companies and workers. And as the automotive industry undergoes rapid transformation, the real challenge is not only technological change, but how that change is managed. My thanks go to Georg Lutert and Max Sangsuan for joining us and sharing their insights. Thanks also to you, our listeners. If you'd like to learn more about responsible business conduct and the ILO's work in this area, you can visit the ILO website at www.ilo.org. You can also stay up to date by following the ILO on social media. Our handles are at ILO on Facebook, LinkedIn, TikTok, and X, and at ilo.org on Instagram. Once again, thank you for listening to the ILO's Future of Work podcast. Please join us again next time. Goodbye.